All right, then. Let's go to our third and final hour. I'm Jim Rome. Been a good day today. As I knew it would be. Game one of the World Series. NBA kicking off. Jets beaten down, melted down. I posed the question. I did not say that they did. I just said, did they quit last night? And I'm not saying they did, but I'm saying that if they did, it would look like that. And part of me hopes that they did, because if they didn't and they tried, that might be even worse. Might be even worse, and quitting is the worst thing you can do in sports. Programs brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, coming up next segment, I've got Ben Golliver. He's a Washington Post NBA columnist. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You can find me on Twitter, as you know, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Lakers at Clippers this evening. I will get into that with Benji in a minute. Now, today is a day that's been circled on the calendar for a long time. October 22nd, Zion Day, Basketball Christmas, the day that Zion Williamson was going to make his regular season NBA debut against the NBA champion, Toronto Raptors. This was the day that we were going to see things like this in the NBA.
He's looking for help, and Williamson comes up with the steal, and there he goes!
Things like that, or things like this.
Two players converge, Barrett emerges.
Well, let's see, who got it? Well, there's no question about that one. Zion got the block. And Cam, you can't even call that a steal. That's a takeaway.
Zion, on that play, looked like he was going to impale himself on the glass. His head was way above the glass. And he does things like this.
Cam, are they experienced and talented?
They're really good. Top 10, good pass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. He might have the whole top 10 to himself by the end of the night.
That pass.
Unbelievable. So we were all fired up on that. Today was going to be Zion Day. And it was postponed. Because the Pelicans announced yesterday that, quote, Zion Williamson underwent successful arthroscopic surgery today to address a torn right lateral meniscus. They also added, quote, the timetable for his full return to play is estimated at 6 to 8 weeks, end quote. What that means is Basketball Christmas probably will not take place until right around the time of the actual Christmas. And let me be the first person to say, that sucks. Flat out sucks. For the world, more importantly, for Zion. Now, I know the injury was first announced on Thursday, and that everybody started to deal with the reality of that a few days back. But you can't tell me that you weren't hoping that something amazing was going to happen. That the injury was not as bad as initially feared. That he might be cleared by now. Instead, he's going to be out for a month and a half or maybe 2 months, which means that on Thursday of last week, we lost Zion Williamson and Patrick Mahomes within a couple of hours. And as if that weren't bad enough, Steve Kerr told NBC Sports Bay Area in an interview that's going to air today that when it comes to Klay Thompson, quote, it's unlikely that he's going to play this year, end quote. The hell is that? Listen, I don't care whether you love or hate New Orleans, Kansas City, or Golden State. If you love sports, you have to love Zion, Patrick, Clay, because these are guys that do things that nobody else can do. And now we're looking at a time without each of them. And that does suck. It's a gut punch. And how many of those gut punches do you really want? And there are two different ways to respond to Zion's injury and the news of the surgery. One is to say it's a minor surgery and he's going to be back in a few weeks. And to that I would say, I don't want to be an alarmist and I don't want to overreact, but there is no such thing as minor knee surgery. There is no such thing as minor knee surgery. Minor knee surgery is surgery that's done on somebody else's knee. And furthermore, these are two pretty precious knees. Like, as a society on the whole, we need to find a way to protect Zion with everything we have, because a talent like this comes along once a decade, maybe even once a generation. So if you've got the it's a minor surgery, don't worry crowd, Then you've got a crowd that's immediately screaming about the other, Zion's durability, and saying that this is the start of an injury-riddled career and that Zion needs to completely reshape his body because there's no way a guy that big can play that way for any period of time. That he's a ticking time bomb. And ultimately, he is going to explode just like his shoe did in college. So you're one side or the other. How about this? How about maybe it's neither? How about everybody take a step back and chill the hell out? How about saying it's a knee surgery, it's concerning, like any surgery, and then just give this guy his time and his space for recovery? You know, like every other athlete in every other sport in the history of the world, because every athlete gets hurt and they recover. Or they don't. But they recover from procedures like this. Do that instead of immediately rushing in to question his durability and declare that his career is over before it even starts. I mean, what I'm saying is settle the hell down. Yeah, it's a big buzzkill to miss out on maybe 2 months of this guy. But not if he's rattling rims and swatting dudes for the next 15 years. And I know a lot of you are always looking to rush in and extinguish the fire with kerosene. But maybe you give it a minute or two before you go all John Brankus, sports scientist, with it and scream from the rooftops that it's just not possible. He's just too heavy. He's too fast. He's too explosive. That his body cannot handle the stress. Like, how the hell do you know? And yes, I am aware it's the same knee that he injured in college. But do you remember how he injured that knee in college? In that same bizarre sneaker accident where his shoe exploded. That's how his knee was injured. And yes, I'm also aware that he missed time in summer league because of a knee injury. But that was the other knee, and that was described as a bruise. So if you want to connect the dots between a shoe exploding on one leg and a bruise on the other, and now claim that dude is just too big, too fast, or too explosive, man, you go right ahead. You go ahead and do that. Me, I'm going to sit that one out. I'm going to sit that out for now because the size and the speed and the explosiveness that you're so afraid of and the fact that he goes so hard every time he steps on the floor is exactly what makes this guy a once-in-a-decade or once-in-a-generation player. That's why he's so good. That's why he's so different. So you do you. Go ahead. Freak out. You can panic and say that it's never going to work and that somebody like Zion shouldn't be able to do what he does, and that his body is going to give out. Just don't look for me to follow you on that. I'm not doing that. Not yet. Not now. I'm not freaking out. I'm just bumming out a little because I was already fired up to see what this guy could do in the NBA, and now I'm going to have to wait a little bit longer. And that sucks, but that's fine. Let's not be going Greg Oden on this guy. 1-800-636-8686. And no, like, I would not go as far as to say, it's a minor knee surgery. He'll be back in a few hours. No such thing as a minor knee surgery, except for a knee surgery on somebody else. But it's also not career-threatening or the sign of things to come, necessarily. Man, chill out. Also still ahead, Game 1 of the World Series. Who do you like tonight? Who do you like in the series? How you feel about that matchup? I'll break that down. I've got Ben Golliver coming up in a few moments. There's a bird on his way to the studio. And he's coming in 3, 2, 1, and... Wah! Did I not back time that perfectly? This is why they're putting me in the Hall of Fame. I can do things like that. This email says, hey, Rome Slice, if Zion misses a bunch of time due to injury, who cares? The Pelicans will stink with or without him. There are plenty of other NBA players who can dunk. Jeremiah, well, that's an evolved take. Well said, Jeremiah. Quote, there are plenty of other NBA players who can dunk. Don't be a troll. Hey, Rome. I wonder if the Pelicans, are already regretting the Greg Oden I mean the Zion draft pick. What did I just say? Scott in San Diego? Rome. Who cares what Michael Jordan thinks? He's old. He played basketball in, what, the 90s? That's like 100 years ago. Signed Mrs. Dennis Quaid. You know, if I were here for that sort of thing, that might have worked. But I'm not. So it doesn't. Dear Jim, I agree with MJ. Just because Steph fires off a couple of hundred shots a game and a couple of lucky ones drop does not make him a Hall of Famer. It's the equivalent of Cal Ripken Jr. showing up to the ballpark every day for 20 years and shagging a couple of balls.
I heard you talking about Cal Ripken and his stupid overrated record. Cal Ripken sucks. He's overrated. He was overpaid. He did nothing good. He's average player at best who had a crappy record because he didn't play that hard. And so everybody thinks he's so great. Wow, he played a bunch of games in a row. Good job there, tough guy. I would pay $1 million just so I can spray that guy in the face with a full mace spray.
You know what? I went from thinking, honestly, for years, that that was the worst call ever made to this program. But it's amazing how everything comes around. Now I think that's one of the best calls that have ever been made to this phone call or this program, because I know that guy believed every word he was saying. Like, that guy truly believed that. Stupid overrated record. Oh, you mean that stupid overrated record where the guy played every day for 20 years at shortstop? You mean that stupid overrated record? Brad in Detroit, especially that good part, that best part, where if Brad in Detroit had $1 million, if Brad in Detroit had $1 million, he'd use it to pay him in, spray him in the face with a full can of mace. Would that really be a good ROI for you, Brad? And who gets that money, Brad? Cal? Once you empty that full can of mace in that average player who had that stupid overrated record, do you pay the money to him directly, or does that go into a trust fund or an escrow account? Where does the $1 million go? Who do you pay that to? Major League Baseball? Retired baseball's pension? Player's pension? So many things about that call that I wonder about years later, except it's aging well. It is aging well. When we return, let's get ready for opening tip. Lakers, Clippers, no Zion. Who's the team to beat now? Is it the Rockets in the West? Is it one of the LA teams? Is it Denver? Is it Utah? Is it Portland? How about the East? Who's coming out? All of that when we return with Ben Golliver. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Plans this weekend, right? So be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart. I am efforting Ben Golliver. Got the Jim Rome podcast returning tomorrow. And our guest is Steven Jackson, former NBAer. He's starting a new video podcast with Matt Barnes. And we will talk about that tomorrow. NBA is tipping off this evening. Momentarily, I will be joined by a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. And a good friend of the program, Ben Golliver. That's coming up. We talk Jets. I do still want to talk about Game 1 of the World Series. There is that this evening, too. But as promised, we are joined by a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He is the co-host of the Open Floor podcast. We consider him a very good friend of this program. Ben Golliver is my guest. Ben, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I've just been pummeled by this NBA in China story for like the last 2 weeks, and I took a clean shot to the face with the Zion Williamson injury news. So it's a very strange start to the NBA season, I think, for basketball diehards and probably for the league itself, too.
I think you're right. Ben, let me ask you about the former is or the latter as opposed to the former. This was supposed to be the most exciting day of the year because the NBA season was starting. And as you mentioned, Zion was going to open up against the Raptors. Then all the air came out of the balloon with the news of his knee injury and ensuing surgery. Before we get into the timelines, the point that you just made, I mean, you've said that you treat Zion like your, quote, very large adult son. It's a great line. Emotionally, how are you holding up?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Jim. You know, I can't wait to see you back. I'm glad it was only 6 to 8 weeks. It's just meniscus. You know, it's not an ACL or something that's going to really, you know, change the course of his career. But we can't wait to see this guy on the court, Jim. And, you know how gravy trains work. This is one of the ultimate gravy trains in NBA history. They had him on for ring night Tuesday night against the Toronto Raptors. They had him on ESPN Friday night against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. They had 5 of his first 7 games nationally televised. He is projected to miss about 20 games. 11 of those games for the New Orleans Pelicans were going to be on national television, and everybody's just hoping that he can get back for that Christmas Day game because, of course, that's going to be a major rating bonanza for the NBA, too. So this is a situation where all the major television executives, the television partners, whether it's Turner and ESPN, NBA TV, they were all lined up to just kind of like roll out the red carpet for Zion Williamson. And unfortunately, this knee injury is kind of dashing all of their plans.
Ben Golver joining us. You know, Ben, when you watched him in the preseason and you saw the way he was showing up in terms of scoring and passing, what kind of thoughts did you have? I mean, should that have answered any questions that anybody would have had about how his game was going to translate to the NBA?
No, he's a stud, Jim. I mean, come on. Like, we're looking around at some of the best young players right now, and a lot of them are foreign players. I mean, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, you go right down the list, Ben Simmons. A lot of these guys are hailing from different countries. To me, what's so important about Zion is that he's probably the brightest American prospect that there is out there right now. I mean, you look at USA Basketball struggling through that World Cup in China last month. I'll tell you, one guy who would have changed the whole course of that team on the court and just from a buzz standpoint, a hype standpoint, that would have been Zion Williamson. And I would love to see him next summer on an Olympic team. I mean, can you imagine an Olympic team going to Tokyo, say, with LeBron, Zion, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard? I mean, that's going to have a lot of people watching. That's kind of the dream scenario. So to me, what we saw in the preseason was very efficient scoring, him going right at NBA-caliber centers, taking it right into their chest, no problem finishing around them, lots of, you know, team-first hustle plays, and then also an unselfish passing attitude. I love that he doesn't get so overly locked in on just dunking and trying to score the ball every time. He makes the right play. They're setting him up for success in New Orleans. I just can't wait to see this guy back on the court.
Ben Golliver is joining us once again. All right, Ben, so on top of the Zion news, you have Steve Kerr telling NBC Sports Bay Area that it's, quote, unlikely that Klay Thompson is going to play this season. What's your reaction when you hear that news?
Well, I think that's actually welcome news, to be honest. I think it takes the pressure off Klay Thompson sort of either way. And I think in general, after you get burned with that Kevin Durant situation during the finals last year, you should be erring on the side of caution. And I feel the same way about the Kevin Durant situation. There's already these rumbles coming out of Brooklyn. Oh, he's going to try to come back during this season from an Achilles injury. I really hope not. I don't want to see Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson on a basketball court until next year. Of course, that pains me to say it. I mean, those are two of, all-star level guys every single year, two champions, you know, two basketball warriors. But sometimes health comes first. Both those guys are coming off of major injury situations. And to be honest, I'm not sure either the Warriors or the Nets are really in position to compete for a title this season. And so from that standpoint, what's the rush? Just go ahead and take the slow approach, play for next season.
Ben Golliver is joining us. All right, so the Warriors might not be, but what about the teams in Los Angeles? You got a doubleheader tonight, Ben, and the battle for Los Angeles is the second game there. I mean, I understand there are 81 games to come after this, so there's no reason to read too much into this one game, especially since the Clippers are not at full health. But what are you looking to see from both of these teams tonight?
Well, first of all, they said there's like 450 media credentials for the game tonight, so it's going to be like sardines in the locker room. That's probably more for one game than the Clippers had for an entire season like 10 years ago, if you think about it. But how times have changed. From the Clippers, I want to see where Kawhi Leonard's body is at and how many minutes he plays out of the gate. You know, he told people during the preseason, it kind of went under the radar, but he didn't play any 5-on-5 basketball all summer long. I mean, he was really kind of, you know, limiting what his workouts were. And so we just need to see how does he hold up under big minutes. For the Lakers, it's all about just oohing and aahing at these pick and rolls from LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The Lakers fans have already seen it a couple times during the preseason, where when those two guys are working the two-man game, Anthony Davis is cutting down the middle of the paint. Defenders have no idea how to handle these two guys because of LeBron's passing ability and Davis's incredible finishing ability. So I think it's going to be an exciting opener. You know, LeBron's already tweeting about how he feels like it's the night before Christmas yesterday. And I think a lot of Lakers fans who are looking at trying to get back into the playoffs, you know, for the first time in a long time, they're feeling pretty excited about this group.
We're talking to Ben Golliver for a few more moments. Ben, what about Utah? They've been a fashionable dark horse in previous seasons. But when you look at the moves that they made in the offseason, are they still that? Are they a dark horse or are they a legitimate contender now?
I think they've got to be in that top class of contenders. I put them and Denver. You know, it's just one of those things where, like, those small market teams are always going to get overlooked in favor of the glitzier teams in Los Angeles, you know, or even like the Warriors in past years being in the Bay Area. But both Utah and Denver, super deep, balanced. They can score the basketball. They can shoot the basketball. And then defensively, they know who they want to be. And I think both those teams deserve to be kind of you know, up near the top. But the Jazz have just done everything the right way. It's been sort of a deliberate building process. They realized that Rudy Gobert was going to be the captain of an excellent defense a few years ago, and they just have methodically brought in the pieces around him to sort of make it work. They just, you know, re-upped Coach Quinn Snyder, who's done an awesome job. He's probably a Coach of the Year candidate this year, to a new contract as well. They've got all their ducks in a row. I don't see any drama from that group. I see a lot of veterans who want to get over the hump, whether it's a Mike Conley, a Bogdanovich, who struggled in last year's playoffs, Rudy Gobert, of course, who's trying to have his breakthrough moment. And then they've got that young star in you know, in the making in Donovan Mitchell, who just kind of adds an element of pop and excitement to the whole thing. They're absolutely a team to watch this year. They've kind of been a darling of the basketball dorks these last couple of years. I think it's a different story this year. I just think they're really, really good.
Ben, one thought before you go. What about the East? Is the East a two-horse race between Philadelphia and Milwaukee, or can you make a case for somebody other than those two who has a legitimate look at it?
So to me, those are the top two teams, clearly, you know, not even really that close. I think with Milwaukee, the offense is going to be as devastating as it was last year. Giannis is going to be right back in that MVP conversation. He looked out of control good during their preseason run. And then with Philly, you know, they've got a few things to shake out. They're going to have to find the shooting. They're going to have to find the right lineups and build the chemistry with their new pieces. But they're just big, strong, tough. They're going to pound a lot of teams. Embiid could be in that MVP conversation as well. And so to me, those are easily the top two teams. Now, if there was a surprise team out there, though, I think it could be the Toronto Raptors. I think everybody's sleeping on them a little bit just because you lose Kawhi Leonard and, you know, all the expectations change when you lose your finals MVP and your franchise guy. They still have an all-star point guard in Kyle Lowry. Pascal Siakam, to me, is going to make his first all-star game this year. They've got multiple, you know, experienced, tested, you know, proven interior defenders with Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, and they've got some pretty good depth and a creative coach in Nick Nurse as well. I mean, that's a pretty good package, you know. So if one of those two teams, whether it's Philly or Milwaukee, slips up or gets injuries or, you know, just, you know, winds up, you know, not living up to expectations, I actually think it's the defending champion Toronto Raptors who are poised to, you know, sneak into that Eastern Conference Finals.
He's in midseason form already. National NBA writer for the Washington Post, co-host of the Open Floor podcast, and again, good friend of the program, Ben Golliver. Ben, great job. Thank you so much. Always good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you too, Jim. Take care, man.
Take care, Ben. Well done. We're tipping it off tonight. All right, when we come back, what I still want to get to, if possible, game one of the World Series, and something that, well, we still want to talk about, yet you continue to talk about. Before I get to these things in one last segment, and phone lines are open, take advantage of that. So, big day today. We covered that beat down the Pats laid on the Jets. Beat down, lay down, either or, both. Pats add Mohamed Sanu. We talked game one of the World Series and the entire matchup with John Morosi. We talked some Saints football with Von Bell. We talked about the opening of the NBA season with Ben Golliver. I gave you my thoughts on Zion Williamson. We had a new segment, What's Your Beef? We debuted that. That went very well. So I've got one last segment here and some unfinished business. Let's go back to the phone, see what's going on. Jeff in Southfield. Lately, Jeff in Southfield has been calling the program to take runs at individual clones. I don't know if that's the new brand. I don't know if he's going to stay on that. One way to find out. Jeff. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Thanks for the fine, Jim. Hey, clones. Did you see IRA Craig's tweet that he got his first royalty check for his book and spent all of it at 7-Eleven on some pink champagne? That's right, ladies. IRA doesn't just have 7-Eleven money. He has the only court champagne they sell at 7-Eleven money. Yes, while other aspiring writers just dream about the day when they can spend their royalty checks at 7-Eleven, IRA lives it. Jim, I want to congratulate IRA, but I can't because self-publishing is not an accomplishment. It's an admission of defeat. So instead, let me say my condolences to you, IRA, for the death of any hope that a real publisher would ever invest in your manuscript. What IRA doesn't realize is that the manuscript titled When Every Day is Friday Night has been written and submitted by every wannabe rock star who's ever worked more than 12 months at Guitar Center. The difference between those dudes and IRA is the dudes from Guitar Center's dream is to be rock stars, while IRA's dream is to work at Guitar Center. Hey, IRA, here's what those publishing houses tell all those Guitar Center dudes. Yeah, every day of your life might be Friday night, but when your Friday nights are nothing but strippers and fat chicks, you're not interesting. In fact, there's a running joke amongst publishing house workers that they're all going to write a book titled When Every Day is Reading, yet another lame version of When Every Day is Friday Night. On the plus side, IRA can always use his unsold copies to build himself an igloo-style structure to sleep in and have plenty of extra copies left over to start a barrel fire. Just saying.
He can use all of his spare copies to build an igloo-style structure to sleep in. Just saying. Jeff in Southfield. Matthew cracks me up. Just saying. Best use of Guitar Center in quite some time. 1-800-636-8686. You make sure you rack that call. So this guy has now gone in on IRA. John in New York. Who else? Is there one more? You want to stay off this guy's radar. Just saying. Dear Jim, Zion might miss 20. Ouch. I miss my 20s too. Can you tell? Yours, Denny Quaid. All right, so when I woke up today, I knew today was going to be a good day. I roll out of the rack. I immediately start to think about a few things. One, Monday Night Football reaction. Two, game one of the World Series. Three, Zion's knee. Four, the NBA tipping off in downtown LA. I can go on and on and on. Even Jeff in Southfield. Might he call today, and who is he going in on? The one thing that I was not thinking about when I rolled out was Dennis Quaid. In fact, I'll be honest, I'm never really at this point thinking about Dennis Quaid. Every once in a while, some stray pitch will come in involving Dennis Quaid. But other than that, I'm not thinking about the guy. I've got nothing against the guy. I've just got no reason to think about the guy. And that's because I host a sports talk show and not a nightly segment on E! News. Or maybe it's because I'm not that interested in former movie stars turned discount car insurance hucksters. But a lot of you seem to think that I do think about Dennis Quaid. A lot of you seem to think that I have an interest in Dennis Quaid. How do I know? Because my Twitter mentions are begging me for my take on a 65-year-old insurance spokesperson getting down with a 26-year-old PhD student. Not just getting down, but getting engaged. Getting hitched. So ask yourself this one more time. Why is it that when you see a celebrity getting fat or hooking up with somebody 39 years younger than them, you immediately think to yourself, the first thing that flashes through your mind is, hot freaking damn, where is my phone? I got to get this to Rome. I need to hear Rome's take on this. No, better yet, Rome needs to hear my take on this. Hell yeah! I mean, do you really think that I care that the Quaid man just popped the question to somebody who was born when he was planning his 40th birthday party? Do you really think that I care that his soon-to-be wife could have been one of his kids in the smash hit Yours, Mine, and Ours? Do you think that I care that even Ike in the back row thinks that DQ might be a little too old for a graduate college student? Do you think I care that one consenting senior citizen and one consenting 20-something are getting married? Because I don't. Just like I don't care about 73-year-old one-hit wonder Dawn American Pie McLean has a 25-year-old girlfriend. Like I don't care that 75-year-old Mick Jagger has a 31-year-old gal pal. Like I don't care that 78-year-old Bob Kraft has a 39-year-old squeeze. The hell kind of talk show do you think this is? Yet every single time these geezers went public with their relationships, you all ran to my mentions and my email inbox. And why? Like Mark in Hollywood, a caller that I respect, who's won a smack off, tweeted the Quaid story yesterday and wrote, quote, "Crown him." Mark, if you want to crown his ass, then crown his ass. But let me off the hook.
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass. We just...
But let me off the hook. Look, I understand that you're all fascinated. Well, actually, I don't understand. I guess you're all fascinated with multi-decade age gap relationships. Man, take that up with somebody who does care. Take that up with somebody who can do something about it. Take it up with your local lawmaker, just not your national sports talk radio host. If Denny wants to fall asleep every night 4 hours before his fiance after going into a food coma from the early bird special at Denny's, then more power to him. If Dennis Quaid wants to break up with a 32-year-old to marry a 26-year-old, then more power to him, because he did that. Look, I understand that you all hit the clone jackpot like cherry, cherry, cherry. Y'all hit that clone jackpot last year when Dane Cooks with Oil got fat at the exact same time that he started dating a 19-year-old. I know that's a clone jackpot. But this isn't that. This literally has no impact on me. No impact on me. No impact on my life. No impact on my show. Or anything else for that matter. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I just don't give a damn. I don't. I never have. I don't care who Quaid is getting with. I don't care who Quaid is marrying. I don't care how much Cooks with Oil ways. Never have, never will. You got the wrong freaking show, dopes. Let Dennis Quaid live what's left of his life. Let me get back to what's left of my show. I could have included that in the What's My Beef segment. My beef is with you morons who continue to email and tweet and try to drag me into all this. This being people who want to marry those younger than them by a few decades. People who gain a few hundred pounds. I don't care. Never have, never will. I'm not about that. The show's never been about that. I've never laid out topics on the table about Dennis Quaid marrying somebody or wanting to marry somebody 39 years younger. I don't care, man. Doesn't impact me. His life, his call, his decision, more power to him. I hope they're both very happy. I hope they have lots of kids. Jeff and Southfield reaction. Rome. Jeff and Southfield is weird as hell, but awesome at the same time. I couldn't stop laughing. I haven't heard you holding back from laughing as he made his call. War Jeff and Southfield, Tony and Yonkers. True. True. All that's true. Jeff is weird as hell. Jeff is awesome. And I did hold back my laughter. The guy cracks me up. He has every single phone call he's made. Jeff and Southfield is literally one of the best callers this show has ever had. Not one of the better callers right now. One of the best callers we've ever had because he's so freaking weird. But he's funny, man. He's really funny. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Guitar Center was minding its own business, and Jeff and Southfield comes out of nowhere with a lead pipe.
What Ira doesn't realize is that the manuscript titled When Every Day is Friday Night has been written and submitted by every wannabe rock star who's ever worked more than 12 months at Guitar Center. The difference between those dudes and Ira is the dudes from Guitar Center's dream is to be rock stars, while Ira's dream is to work at Guitar Center.
It's funny, man. This dude's funny. Benny and Wisco's in. I like Zion Day significantly more than Lion Day. Thanks. Roy, no longer on the strip. Benny, you are so much better than that. Benny, that is so beneath you. Benny, that's low rent. Come on, man. You are better than that, Ben. I know you are. Not I thought you were, but I know you are. How many guys out there have been using their wife or their girlfriend shampoo? Your hair is different, so do them. In fact, do your hair a favor. Get your own. Dove Men Plus Care has created a range designed to give your hair the care it needs to stay strong and more resilient. It is available at Walmart. My thanks to John Morosi, Fox Sports MLB reporter et al. He was all over Game 1 and that matchup. He, in fact, took the Astros to win in 5 or 6. We talked Saints football with Von Bell. Safety. Quality guy. Really good player. Made his jungle debut. We had Ben Golliver back in. We had the debut of the What's Your Beef segment. Jeff at Southfield came in. And now we are officially done. NBA tips off tonight. Game 1 of the World Series this evening. Lot to cover tomorrow. Be sure you're here then. Thank you for listening. My thanks to the XR4TI. See you next time. We're out.